I'd like to introduce the next part of our program. I'm so thrilled to see God taking this message and transferring it to the hands and hearts of the next generation. And Dan Jarvis is one of those next generation leaders in our ministry. He's our message director, which means, well, Dan, I hope you're going to tell us exactly what that means. But he oversees the shaping, cultivating, developing, disseminating, keeping it right, the message of Life Action Ministries. And we've watched Dan, maybe he'll tell you a little bit about this, since he was a preteen when God first put this message in his heart, and now as a man of God helping our ministry shape it and deliver it to the rest of the world. So thanks so much, Dan.
Thank you, Nancy. And thank you for sharing with us and coming all this way. Appreciate that a lot. Life Action really is in itself a vision. A vision that was born in 1971, a vision that continues today in your heart and in mine. And one illustration of that vision, one description of that ultimate vision, I find in Psalm 22. So if you'd like to turn or click over to Psalm 22 for just a moment, I'd like to begin by reading you a few verses. Psalm 22, there's obviously in this text a prophecy about Jesus, about his death, but following that, there's something here that hasn't happened yet, at least by my accounting of things, and it's at the very end of the chapter, verse 25. Psalm 22, verse 25. From you, the theme of my praise comes in the great assembly. Before those who fear you, I will fulfill my vows. The poor will eat and be satisfied. They who seek the Lord will praise him. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord. And all the families of the nations will bow down before him. For dominion belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. All the rich of the earth will feast and worship. All who go down to the dust will kneel before him, those who cannot keep themselves alive. Posterity will serve him. Future generations will be told about the Lord. They will proclaim his righteousness to a people yet unborn, for he has done it. And what we long for is the day when all the families of the nations would bow before the Lord, when the power and presence of Jesus would sweep through this broken world and transform all that is dark into light. And you each have a part to play in that. As a staff member, as a partner with Life Action, I just want to thank you for being here and engaging with us in this moment. And there's a reason you ended up here. It's actually kind of a mundane reason. At some point, someone invited you, and you had to say something in response to that invitation in order for you to end up sitting where you're sitting today. And what was it that you had to say to that invitation? You had to say yes, right? I believe that the inception point of any movement of God is when someone somewhere says yes to what God is asking them to do. A beginning point for me, if I was looking through my life, was kind of another mundane situation. When I was about 11 years old, my mom picked up a Christian history textbook for kids. And I read the part in that textbook that talked about the Great Awakenings. And I said to my mom, well, why can't that happen today? And she was actually a new believer at the time. And she said, well, I don't really know, but I know people will have to pray for that to happen. So I called the pastor of my church and said, I'm really interested in Great Awakenings. Why don't those happen today? He kind of pointed me in the right direction toward this whole idea of revival in the church, sparking something that happens in the wider culture. And so I started to get a burden just as a young person there for prayer. And I asked my pastor, well, could we set aside a day to pray for revival in our church? And he said, well, sure. Who's going to say no to an 11-year-old asking you that, you know? So we started to plan for this. And of course, in just sort of childlike faith, I just started thinking beyond my church. I started thinking, hey, let's write to everybody we know. This was back in 1991. I didn't know that many people, but so we just started looking for any mission agency we could write to, any Christian we knew anywhere in America and anywhere in the world. And we started inviting them to, would you pray with us on January 25th, 1992, for revival? Praying that God would change the church so that it would lead to great awakening in the world. And, you know, God took that little seed, that little yes in my life, and that thing blew up. That's a whole other story that I'd love to tell you sometime of how God showed himself powerful and strong to me in those moments when I was getting phone calls from Australia and radio interviews everywhere you can imagine. Here's this 11, 12-year-old kid who's calling the world to revival. And for me, I mean, I think there was a lot of fruit from that. I mean, God did some amazing things in that time. But for me, when I look at my life, I recognize that basically everything that's happened to me since that time is a result of that one question I asked my mom: why doesn't this happen today? And I look back and think, if I hadn't asked that question, or if she had kind of brushed me off in that moment, oh, I'm too busy, we'll talk about it later, really the whole course of my life would be different. It was almost like that was the first in a series of dominoes for me that started to fall. And once that tipped, it's kind of like that was the tipping point in my life. I started to meet people. That's how I got introduced to Life Action. I eventually got to travel on the team. I went into pastoral ministry. Now I'm back on full-time staff at Life Action. And I look back at all these people I know and all these opportunities that have happened and think, you know, it really all came down to one decision a long time ago. I had no idea what the ramifications would be. I had no idea where it would lead. But it was that one yes to the Lord that changed everything for me. And I'm guessing that for you, you could also say that there was a moment, there was a yes in my life when everything changed. The yes to Jesus, in the immediate sense, to be saved. The yes to some sort of ministry service, or the yes to become a partner in ministry. The yes to say, Lord, I'll just jump into obedience. Yes, I want to share my faith. Yes, I want to pray. Yes, I want to seek you personally. And that yes led to where you are today, and who knows where it leads next. God does amazing things, and so that yes is kind of like that first domino. I kind of like dominoes. I'm not sort of a domino fanatic or anything, but I found a video on YouTube that that talks about dominoes. I just want to play it for you right now.
Everybody knows about playing with dominoes, but what you may not know is that a domino can knock over another domino, which is about 1.5 times larger. So what I have here is a chain of dominoes. Each one is 1.5 times larger than the previous one. And the smallest domino is about 5 millimeters high and 1 millimeter thick. And I will carefully place it. And there are 13 dominoes, and the largest domino, it weighs about 100 pounds and is more than a meter tall. Ready? That was 13 dominoes. If I had 29 dominoes, the last domino would be as tall as the Empire State Building. What's the physics going on here? Well, every time you stand up a domino, you lift it against gravity. And that stores some of gravitational potential energy in the domino. And you only have to put in a little bit of push to get it to that tipping point. And then you get all that energy back again when it falls over. And that's more than enough energy to knock over the next domino, which releases even more energy. So it turns out the amplification in this series of 13 dominoes is about 2 billion. So we put in a little tiny bit of energy at the beginning, and we get 2 billion times as much out at the end. But of course, we put all that energy in by lifting these dominoes and standing them up again. So that's a kind of chain reaction. You trigger it, and more energy comes out, and more energy is released each step.
Okay, so here's a question then, kind of a question of strategy, I suppose, as we think about what we're here believing God for. And that is it possible for us to target our efforts at that small domino as we look at really empire state size challenges around us? The idea of revival in the church sparking global spiritual awakening, that's the Empire State Building, right? None of us can go and push that over. But are there some things that you and I can do or be a part of, like that small domino, that releases an exponentially growing of energy? I think there is. Now, that leads us to a couple key questions. First of all, what is that first domino that we should push to get the outcome we want? So what I want to do is kind of by way of review of a little of what was talked about yesterday, just show you in simple language the outcome that Life Action as a whole ministry is seeking, and then sort of our message strategy when it comes to how we see these dominoes starting to fall. All right, so let's get started with that. First of all, Life Action's outcome, the thing that we're here united around, is simply this. It's movements of authentic Christianity that bring glory to God and then advance His kingdom across the world. That's what we're here for. That's what everything named Life Action is trying to do. We want to see movements of authentic Christianity glorifying God and then spreading His kingdom, completing the Great Commission all the way across the world. Say, well, wow, there's a lot of activity that we've started to hear about just in the last 24 hours. There's broadcasts and there's team events and there's publications and there's small groups and there's networking. There's all these things. Here's kind of a summary. This is the way I like to think of it. The Life Action label essentially is creating context where people can seek and obey God. We're challenging people to revive life so that they can take kingdom action. That's what Life Action's about. If you show up at one of our events, on a road team event, that's what you're going to find. A context where you can seek and obey God, where you can kind of have an opportunity at least to tip that first domino over in your life and say, yes, God, I surrender. Yes, I'll humble myself. Revive Our Hearts, we've just heard a little bit about that. There's a lot more to that story. And that's just helping women thrive in Christ, bringing them freedom, fullness, fruitfulness. And then you can look at One Cry, and that's the nationwide call for spiritual awakening that people would urgently, they would turn and then pray and then unite together for God's purposes. So all of our activity, you could summarize in those three categories, but there's still something missing in the storyline here. We know why we're here. That's God's glory and the advancement of His kingdom. And we know what we're doing. That's all these activities that are named Life Action. Here's what I'm up here to talk about for just a few minutes. How does the message we proclaim actually work? How is it that talking about, preaching about, broadcasting about, printing about revival actually brings about the outcome that we're seeking? Will it accomplish our mission? So let's walk through it. First of all, here's my premise. I stated it earlier. Any movement of authentic Christianity begins when someone somewhere says yes to God. It's really that simple. And that yes is like the first domino in a series that may change that person's life. It may transform their family. It may change the trajectory of their whole church. It might even lead to empire state building size change in America or in Canada or anywhere in the world. Now, we have two primary approaches as far as message is concerned, as far as how we accomplish that. And the first is to individuals, and the second is to church leaders. So to illustrate this, I'd like you to look for those blue cards that are right on your table. There should be two. They look very similar, but you'll need a copy of both. So if you could grab that or look on the person next to you. I'd like to walk this through with you because this defines the message that we're proclaiming. And I think what it does, at least what it does for me, is it explains the logic of how we believe that proclaiming the message of revival is actually going to result in movements of authentic Christianity. How it's going to get people from the sidelines to the front lines. How it's going to get people who are used to saying, no, I'm too busy, I'm too distracted, I have other priorities, to enthusiastically saying yes to the Holy Spirit. So here's how it works. Let's look first at the card that says what we teach. And this would be our message to the individual. So if you sit through a Life Action event, if you listen carefully to what Nancy DeMoss is saying on the radio, if you read any book that's published by any of our outreaches, what you'll see at the core is essentially a call to respond to God, you to respond to God, not just believe something different, but actually to take a practical, concrete step of obedience. We call people to respond to God in six primary ways because we believe that when people do this, everything else about their life changes. This is the first domino that we're saying, God, would you use us to tip a domino in somebody's life that leads them to a different outcome? So here's what it is. We invite people into a lifestyle, first of all, of humility. That's when you bow down before God, when you draw the circle around your life and you say, Lord, I have need for you. I recognize I can't do this on my own. And then there's honesty. That's when we confess our sin. I mean, once you're humble before God, you can receive his grace. You can lift your eyes up to the truth. You can start saying, "Lord, now I get it. Now I'm ready to confess my sin and start to walk a different way." And that leads us to the third response to God, repentance. You confess, that's when you get honest with God. You repent, that's when you actually turn around and do the opposite of whatever the sin you were committing was. You start to walk in a new way. That kind of gets you right with God. And then forgiveness, the fourth response, is when you seek it for yourself as you've offended others in your life, and also when you extend it to those who offended you. You embrace the forgiveness of God, and then you live the kind of life that Jesus really did die to provide for you, which is a life of forgiveness. A life where rather than holding a grudge, or rather than living in bitterness, you can actually walk in freedom. Then comes obedience. See, now we've humbled ourselves, we've gotten honest with God, we've righted our relationship with God and with people around us. Now we get to say yes to what Jesus really has on the table for our lives, for our future. We get to seek out the will of God and the purpose of God for us and start saying yes to what he says in the Bible. And then the sixth response, and this is where life really gets exciting, seeking the kingdom of God above everything else, Matthew 6:33. It's when you've thoroughly made the transformation. You are no longer on the sidelines. You are right on the front lines of what God is doing, and you're saying, "All right, Lord, your kingdom priorities matter more than anything else in my life. And so I'll do whatever you say, I'll give whatever you ask, I'll go wherever you send me. I am all yours. And every priority in my life now bows in submission to you." Now, if it's possible to lead a person down this little road that starts simply with humility, saying, "Lord, you can start with me, I'm here, I'm open, I want to hear you," all the way to kingdom action, well, I think that's a recipe to change the whole world. Because that's one person saying yes to God, and now the whole trajectory of their life starts to change. And they impact others who impact others, and soon the fire can spread. So that's the message to individuals. And yesterday, Dell alluded to this. When our teams go to an event, one of the reasons we want to expand the number of people we get to talk to in our events is because we want to lead more people down this road. Because the more people who lead down this road, that's like us tipping over more and more dominoes that ultimately we pray will change our culture and then have an extended impact for the gospel all across planet Earth. That's the reason that we have media resources. So you look through Life Action, you say, what is this all about? How does it work? This is the message to individuals. Now grab the other card. We also have a message for church leaders. Because it's not necessarily enough for just individuals in a church to say yes to God. What we really want is the church as a whole group to say yes to God. Because there's immense power when people unify around a common mission, and we don't want you to unify just around earthly mission. Say, hey, unify around the purposes of God, the global completion of the Great Commission in this generation. That's worth unifying for. That's worth throwing everything we've got at it. So how do we encourage a church to go from wherever they're starting from? Maybe, not every church is different, but maybe plateaued, maybe compromised, maybe half-hearted, maybe a little bit distracted. How do we encourage that church to now move from the sidelines to the front lines of God's kingdom activity? And for that, we would ask them four simple questions. And here's where these come from before I give you the four questions. We did some study of the Great Awakenings, and particularly the Second Great Awakening, and started to ask, what did all the churches that were participating in that Great Awakening, what did they have in common? What were some common marks? And one of our friends of our ministry, Bob Bakke, actually wrote this down and kind of codified it as a fact, I suppose, because at least I trust him as a historian. He essentially outlined there's four components. There was bold gospel proclamation. There was unity in prayer. There was a passion for seeking God. And there were times the churches were setting aside from business as usual to actually seek God. So we thought, well, you know, what if we frame that not just as some sort of a little formula you follow or a seminar you go to, but what if we just ask them very honestly at a heart level to ask and answer these four questions? So here they are. How are we seeking God personally? First, around the table of the leadership team at the church, elders, deacons, staff members, how are we seeking God personally? Where's our urgency in that? When are we setting aside time for spiritual awakening, for spiritual renewal? When are we setting aside time when people can pause their ministry activity and say, you know what, I need to refresh with God. I need to re-energize by the Holy Spirit. The third question, how are we uniting in prayer for revival and spiritual awakening? How are we praying for revival in our church and then looking at our town, our community, our missionaries, and praying for redemption out there in the world, for transformation? And then the fourth question, what is our action plan to complete the Great Commission? I've sat with church staffs around America and asked them these questions. And I'm usually kind about it, but I do ask them directly, you know, not just like this is a theoretical question, but actually, how are you doing this? And you know what I find? Virtually every time I ask, most people don't have an answer, really, to any of those four. Occasionally, you'll get one or two people who kind of have it together, but these are four very neglected areas in the average church. But we believe that they're critical areas when it comes to igniting a movement of authentic Christianity. That we're not going to have a movement of authentic Christianity sweep through the American church unless these questions can be answered in a robust way. That churches really do have a game plan for the Great Commission. They really are seeking God personally. They really are setting aside time to say, Lord, you are number one priority. Not just our ministry ideas, not just our schedule. You're it. We need you. And then that they would unite in prayer around this cause and say, Lord, we're going to cry out to you until you answer our prayer for revival. So we believe that a church leadership team that asks and then answers these four questions, it's almost as if that's the act of setting their sails for God's power to then blow through their church. And that's how we're asking a church as an organization to say yes to God. In every community, in every country, these questions, the applications, the specifics probably be a little different church to church. But if your church can sit down and say, yes, we are answering these things in a robust way, I believe that we're positioned then for God to move. So that's another little domino. You know, one church leadership team talking through this, working through this, being challenged toward this, well, that's not going to change the world on its own. But what if that's that little domino that falls that starts to change their community, that starts to have an impact on the churches around them, that starts, and then we start to see an increasing momentum. Here's what's exciting. As we'll hear in a few moments from Byron, we're not starting from zero here. There's already a lot of kingdom activity happening around the world today. There's already some movements that have been ignited. Authentic Christianity is on the move. And so what we want to do is be the kind of people who look at this row of potential dominoes, all that potential energy stored, and just tip it over. Say, Lord, would it be one message or one broadcast or one four-day team event or one book or one blog post that would just tip in one person's life, them from a no to a yes, them from one who is distracted to one who is focused on the kingdom of God, the purposes of God? It's interesting. Sometimes when I've gone through these questions, just as a side note, that last one, how can we, what's our action plan to complete the Great Commission? I'll get a little bit of pushback, because people haven't thought of the Great Commission as something they would ever complete. And when I read the Great Commission, Jesus said, go into all the world and do what? Try your best to make some disciples. Go into all the world and give whatever you can to make disciples. No, he actually asks us to complete a mission, correct? It's fairly tangible. Go into all the world and make disciples of all the nations. So there's our target. There's our ultimate objective. That's the glory of God, the advancement of his kingdom around the world. Well, the reason I joined Life Action is because I believe that a mobilized, revived church is the surest and fastest way to see that Great Commission completed in this generation. Because imagine with me, if millions of believers had walked down these little cards, if millions of believers were humble before God, were saying yes to what God calls them to do, if thousands of churches were standing up and saying, yes, we're going to reorganize our whole thought process, our whole strategy around the pursuit of God and the completion of his commission, we would see the needle move. We would see things change. Prayerfully, that would be a tipping point for all the negative we can see out there in the culture to something far more glorious, maybe even back to Psalm 22, to seeing the vision of God come to pass, that all the families of the nations would remember and turn to him. Now, would you pull out that domino? There's actually some dominoes on your table. I'd like you to grab your domino. This domino, to me, represents one decision to say yes to God. Yes, God, I'll obey. Saying yes to God can take you to places you never expected, down roads you never imagined were possible for you. In retrospect, you'll think, how did I end up there? But in those places and in those moments, that is when you will find the presence and power of Jesus. Because his power is at work on the front lines, not on the sidelines. So it's when we step forward and say, yes, God, send me, use me, that's when the fireworks begin. That's when we start to see God working in and through our own lives, which is an amazing thing. An interesting place I've ended up in my life was here on a hillside in Maharashtra, India, talking to a group of villagers about God's word, helping dedicate their new little church there. And when I was there, I stood there and thought, how did I end up on this little mountaintop, like really far from civilization? Well, ultimately, it just boiled down to a choice to say yes at some point along the line to an invitation. That yes was took me to a place I never imagined, meeting people I never thought I'd get to meet. Another strange place I ended up was at Miss Spider's Tea Party Ballet in Akron, Ohio. I'm not a big ballet fan. It's just not my thing. But this was a children's ballet, and there you see my kids and my wife there in the picture. And I was at this little, it was one of those very old auditoriums where the people must have been a lot shorter when they built it, at least shorter than me. So I was just smashed into this seat, suffering away, increasingly interested in what was going to happen to Miss Spider. Well, my kids were not even paying attention, but that's a different story. I look at this picture and that crazy scenario I was in, and every person in that picture was a result of a yes to the Lord. From marrying my wife to bringing those kids into our home through foster care, all those represent little yeses. When you say yes, the whole trajectory of your life can change. It's like a first domino that takes you to a place you never expected. Another place that I get to work every day when I wake up is I come in here to the Life Action office in Buchanan, Michigan, and serve here. And there again, it was a result of a bunch of yeses to the Lord. There's a few pictures I don't have, though. And those are the times when I said no to God. When he prompted me to share my faith, I was too busy. When he prompted me to share or give or do or love, and I got distracted and didn't follow through. I don't know where that would have taken me, but I don't want any more of those in my life. I want to say yes to him, not just for my own sake, but for the sake of the kingdom of God. And where all of history is heading, according to Psalm 22, I want to be a part of that as much as he'll allow me. So anything he calls me to do, I want to say yes. And what I'd like you to do is take this domino home with you and pray and say, Lord, what do I need to say yes to? Well, we have no idea how to move the needle on worldwide transformation. I don't, at least. But I do know how I could say yes to God. One person saying yes could be the domino that changes the world. Maybe that's you. Maybe that's your family. Maybe that's your church. Would you pray with me that God would give us the courage to say yes? Lord, today we're here because we've said yes to an invitation. But we know that there is a much bigger, eternal invitation in front of us. As those who've trusted you for salvation, now you are inviting us into a life of purpose and passion and mission and vision that transcends our understanding. We want to answer that invitation. We want to be the kind of people who are engaged purposely, intentionally in making disciples of the nations. And Lord, we believe that your presence and your power visiting us in revival is the key to unlock the floodgates, to start knocking over those larger and larger dominoes. So, Lord, it's today that we start with step one, humility. You can begin with us. We don't have a lot to offer, Lord. We have a few loaves and fishes. Please take our lives and multiply them for your kingdom's use and for your glory. In Jesus' name.